All right. Well, Lee. All right. Lee asked Sarah and I to kind of lead today, and so have a short devotional, and then we'll jump into kind of our continuing discussion on just what all we've been going through for the past 3-ish weeks. So today our devotional comes from Nehemiah. So it's Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 to 23. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked over things, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day." Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. So in this passage, it's kind of coming, the Israelites coming back from exile and working on rebuilding the city and rebuilding the wall around the city. And we see in this passage that the Israelites, they faced opposition and had great struggles that were coming, and their enemies were looking to take advantage of that. And Nehemiah comes up with a plan where all the people can help, and each person had a role in this community. Some were there to physically actually build the wall. Some were there to protect the wall builders and the rest of the community. One was there to sound the horn as a rallying point. We see Nehemiah as the leader in this community. We see at the beginning that the people were praying. Others in the community also had to continue with the daily work of living and providing for the city. Each person had a role that was vitally important to the community. Without the wall builders, the wall wouldn't have been built, and the enemies would have been able to easily come in. Without the protectors, the wall builders would have been killed and the city invaded. Each role was just as important as the rest. And we can see this and translate it and apply it to us as the church today. We each have a role in our church. Each of our roles are important to the life of this church as well. Our giftings and where we are at in life play into our role. So as I was thinking through this, I thought of just several examples within our church. So look at Dennis and his role within the church and serving in particular with the College of Trades welding program. Dennis has the gift of being a great welder. Dennis also has the availability to help lead a program that takes place during the day. And I think we can all agree and would all say that the College of Trades is something that's very important to who we are as Christ the Servant. Yet, Dennis is involved, Paul's involved, other Paul Craft is involved. There's a small number of us in relation to who we are as a whole who are involved. But yet, it's still vitally important to who we are. Dennis's involvement does not make him greater than anyone else in the church. He is simply serving within his gifts and in his roles and availability that he has and that God has called him to. I don't have the welding capabilities Dennis has, nor do I have the availability. So I can't serve in that role that Dennis has. And look at Christina and her role within our church. Christina is a great connector and a great at helping people feel welcomed when they are new to us. This is part of how God has gifted Christina, and she steps into this and welcomes those who are new to our community. Look at Brandon and how he can play the guitar and help lead worship. I can't do that, and you don't want me to even try. I don't think we have many other people who would be willing and able to step in and fulfill that role. And yet Brandon does that. And look at the Rayburns and their just great hospitality of hosting us each and every week, and oftentimes during the week as well, even when there's four of the seven here. So they're just always willing and always open to hosting us. And these are just a few examples of how God has called us to serve within our own church. As we see in Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall, each person has a role to play. And we each have a role to play within our church. And as we're going to start kind of looking at what our church has done for this past year and what the priorities should be for our church going into this next year. So I'd encourage you as we discuss this and look at these activities that our church is involved with, that I encourage you to find your role, wherever that may be, because we each have a role to play. So with that, I'm going to have Sarah come up, and Sarah's going to help lead the discussion as well.
So Lee asked us to take a look at all the activities that we've done over this past year. I think I'll pass them on. And what we'd like for you guys to do is to look over these activities and to just think about what do you feel is an important role, and what do you feel is a not as important role for you. We'd like you to rank your top three activities that you feel you can either contribute to or that you feel are important to keep engaged in as a church, and then also your bottom three activities that you feel like, I just feel like this is something I can engage in, or I haven't heard of a lot of people that are engaging in this. This isn't saying that we're going to get rid of any activity. That's not the purpose of this, and it's not saying any activity is more or less important. We just are interested in knowing what are your interests or what are things that you feel like aren't as engaging for our church. So we'd just like you to take a few minutes to rank your top three and your bottom three. So if you just look these over really quick and figure out, you know, what can I engage in? What should our church be focused on? Just take a minute to do that.
How do we denote which is the top three and which one's the bottom three? T, D?
We're going to end up putting them all up here. On these posters, we're all going to all put three dots next to our top three and bottom three. So just, you're not going to turn these in. Just look over these three. If you want to put T or B on your own paper, when we're all done, we're all going to come up. And on the top, you're going to put three dots next to your top three. And then on the bottom, the three next to your bottom.
Are these what we feel like are the top things important to the church as a whole, or where we can contribute? Like, as personally can contribute?
Both, if that makes sense. We're trying really hard to talk through the...
Because obviously I'm not going to be able to help out with the College of Trades, but I think it's awesome.
That's why we wanted to say that we don't feel like it's... This is... Let's focus more on what you think the church should continue to engage in, and something we should make a priority for our church. And again, if you choose group your bottom, it doesn't mean we're getting rid of them. We're just interested to see what you feel like are as important for our church to focus on for this next year. So as you're ready, if you want to come get a marker from Ryan, and you can just put a dot next to your top three and a dot next to your bottom three. Again, putting this dot up here is not saying that you like or dislike an activity over the other, just are interested to know what you think.
Something.
Rented for Chiefs. Gabby is prepared for the color she wants.
She want a green?
Yeah.
That's why they go to college.
So is that different than another pen? Or do we
no, it just doesn't matter what color you want.
Well, I think this is good here for sure. Morning workers, we gotta have that.
But when they are, though, it's important then.
But man, they got me breakfast, really, at all.
Okay. I'm done. Forget how it is.
Can I just mark them all as important?
I know, right? It's hard. It's hard. I was looking at, I'm like, man, how are we gonna choose?
Well, bottom, I'm not even trying, because
yeah.
Unless the men don't want breakfast, like.
Okay, did everybody get a chance to share? Gabby?
What?
Did you go?
No, Jason did not go.
Come on. No.
No, don't do it.
So, I find this very interesting. I'm a data person.
Uh-huh.
School's kind of forced me to be that way. So we want to hear from you. We want to know, first we're going to start with our top. Why did you choose those as your top options? John.
There are several things on there that are closely related and intertwined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you really needed more dots. I based my choices on outreach effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We're a crisis servant. That's what we're all about. And so the things that we do that have an effect on our community, on the people that we have been led to serve, were the things that I put in the top three. But there are some others there that are equally as important, the
mm-hmm.
workforce development, the newer things that we're doing,
yeah.
the team meetings and things like that,
mm-hmm.
the workforce development are up there with, they're the same thing as the College of Trade sitting in the strengthening families.
Mm-hmm.
So I based it on the outreach.
Mm-hmm.
On the bottom things, I based that on either annual occurrence or less, or you know, like the Snow Brigade, we don't really do, that,
mm-hmm.
that used to be a thing, but now it's not so much.
Yeah. Anybody else? What were your thoughts as you were picking your top and bottom? Why did you choose those?
Well, I kind of agree with John and the way I looked at it. I mean, Sunday morning worship, you know, gosh, I'll replace that with baby showers any day. you know, but you know, the things that, like, freaking families and college trades and the congregational support, I mean, that is more than just about anything other than worship makes us Christian. You know, but a lot of the stuff on the bottom was similar that I thought that, you know, a lot of the stuff is periodic.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the Cornucopia and Chocolate Thanksgiving. But I mean, that's a thing with us.
Mm-hmm.
It only happens once a year, but it's a thing. I wouldn't mark it as a bottom
yeah.
at all. At the same time, there's, you know, some things that, you know, that I don't particularly, I'm just not, you know, I don't like coming in my pajamas, you know. So I mean, it's just personal,
yeah.
you know, because, you know, Lisa will, you know, go to It's a good old wedding in the pajamas. So it was hard. I mean, to try to categorize these, it was almost like they needed to be in subcategories, you know, like flat out ministries, you know, the things that are like, if you're a church, you worship, you know, that kind of thing. And then the stuff that's more the community outreach stuff, and then the stuff we do for fun. So.
The original idea that we had was to rank all of them in an order from like one to whatever. And I was like, that would take too long. So that's why we did it this way. Any other thoughts?
I was kind of thinking cost-benefit ratio-ish, like how much time, energy, and effort is put in, and how much, not necessarily like community outreach, but how much spiritually either we get from it or the community gets from it. And I guess my litmus for benefit would be, is it missionally relevant to what we do as a church? I think that was kind of my thought process. Because we have a mission, we have limited resources, energy. Yeah. So, yeah, how well does this design that?
Jennifer?
So for me personally, I picked Sunday morning worship and congregational support. Just being in counseling for as many years as I have, I learned sometimes you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. And so that's kind of a way of taking care of ourselves as a whole, so that we can outreach to other people. And then I love strengthening families and all the things that we get to do to touch the outside world because we have taken care of ourselves.
Any other thoughts?
I'm going to bring up something that might be an interesting topic, but one thing I noticed we don't have up there is evangelism. And the thing is, that is very hard for me because there was a time in my life when I had a hard time with some fairly, bad attempts at evangelism, I guess you could say, toward me. And it's hard to, you know, go out, you know, people don't want to hear, you want to hear about Jesus? You know, it just, they cave in, but you know it's hard not to do anything. It's hard not to do that without just coming out and saying it. That's it. It is something that is kind of missing from the evangelical Protestant perspective that I see. I mean, I understand going out and serving and being Christ to others, but pagans do that. You know, they go and help others too. Maybe different motivation or whatever, you can get into all that. But, I don't know, and I'll tell you, it's a fearful thing for me. I just don't like to get shot down like that, but I mean that it is necessary, and do people do come to Christ through other people's efforts, even though it's hard. I can think of a couple people I know that, you know, it's like, wow, if all that energy could be, you know, and general good nature, you know, which not everybody's good natured, but I think you see what I'm saying. Well, that person would just, you know, have something else in their heart. So anyway, there it is.
I think we have opportunities for evangelism in the midst of the service that we perform. We often get questions from people, why would you spend all this extra time? And it may not be from the person we're spending time with, it may be from other people that we're talking about these things. things that we do, and they go, why would you do that? And you have an opportunity at that. The door opens then for you to say, you know, what motivates you to do that? Not that it makes me feel good, or it makes, you know, it's a matter of God's given me this gift, and this is one way that I can give it back to Him by doing these things. Now, it's not necessarily always, that door is not often walked into. I mean, when some people ask the question, why do you do this, you may want to beg off the real answer and just give them some other answer. But the door opens when you provide service. And then evangelism to me should be an organic occurrence rather than banging on doors and saying, you know Jesus? So that, I mean, or the telephone things that people, that churches have tried, where you're calling people and, you know, inviting them to church. And that, the church growth focuses that we've utilized in there, that we've seen churches use in the past, I just don't see them happening or working very well. But when you have one-on-one opportunities, and we have had people from the welding program come to church, and we've had people from Strengthening Families come to church, because they notice that there's something different about these people that are working with them, and they want to figure out what it is. And there's where the opportunity lies, to give them a little bit of why you are motivated to do what you want to do. And you're right, I mean, there are pagans that do the same thing, but their motivation is, I mean, if you have a philosophical conversation about why they're doing what they're doing, they're doing it because either they feel there's going to be some kind of payback, like there's this yin-yang or karma kind of thing that's going on in the world, or they're completely motivated by feeling like, well, I helped this person out, so I'm better than they are. But the difference is that when you're in true service, as Christ provided service to people, that you should not be showing that kind of attitude or arrogance, and it should show that people should be like, this is really weird, because this person has no reason, no worldly or sociological reason to do this. What motivates this person? And there's where the door opens. So it should be an organic way. So I'm actually kind of glad that evangelism didn't end up on these lists, because I just don't see that as a subtopic at all. I mean, if you're serving, you will have opportunity for evangelism.
I agree. Good point.
So for me personally, how I ended up coming to the church was through Juan's head injury, and Lee came every day and prayed with us, and I was like, wow, like, who does this? Nobody, like, my family's not here, like, wow. And even now today, I work with a ton of churches. I get invited to different churches all the time. And I'll tell people that, you know, I might go visit your church, you know, I might think you guys have a lot of great things going on, but my church home is my church home. Like, they did amazing things for me and showed me things that I didn't see that kind of heart in people. Like you said, it's like either people wanted something back, or I had something to offer. That, like, I had nothing to offer. I was down and out. And Lee showed me the grace and simple things, like telling me, just pray. Mm-hmm. Which I told him at the time, I was like, I needed something bigger than that. But that was amazing and huge. And so. And I think other people are touched like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Strengthening Families, all the time I get asked, like, where do you go to church? And
yeah.
And I share, and I need to reach out to them because they acted like they wanted to come. So,
John?
What we're looking at is obedience and the joy that comes from obedience. Christ gave us two commands: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your spirit. love God with everything you've got. And the second was love your neighbor as yourself. And so the things that are motivated by love, that are rooted in love, are the those are the top. And the other flows out of this. Christ said, they'll know you by your love for one another. And then,
I think we can all agree that all of this list, you know, there's a lot of necessary components to who we are. And it's really hard to figure out what should be at the top, what should be at the bottom. But it's interesting that the things we chose for the top were very similar. It was reaching out to other people, whether it's in our congregation or out in the community. That was our top priority. And so I want to tie it back to the devotional we did. We all have a role to build that. To build that foundation that we wanted, to build that wall. Just like they had their role to build the wall, we have our role to build that foundation. So our challenge to you this week is to think about, you know, we've chosen these as things that we feel like are a top priority for us. So what can you personally do? You don't have to be all of them. Choose one that you can this year really try to volunteer for, or you can encourage the people who are involved in it. Or you can find your niche in it, whether it be providing things or praying for it, or going and helping with the kids. What is your role in these activities that we consider a priority?
Can we close in prayer? Yeah. We just thank you for today, and thank you for just opportunities to reflect and just look to see where you've called us and where you have us serving, and just how we can faithfully serve you. Just ask that as we go from here today, that we take time to reflect and reflect on where you're calling us to be individually and as a church. Just ask that you bless this day, and let's just have a good rest of the day focusing on you. In your name, amen.
Amen.